Blog Talk Radio.
And everybody should know that's how love goes. It's good for the soul.
Oh, I got a long way to go, but it won't stop the pain. No, no. That's the kind of thing that keeps me coming back again and
the Healthy Soul Talk Show with your favorite therapist, Dr. Kimberly Thomas. Come on in. Welcome, welcome, welcome. All right. So if you're tuning in on Blog Talk Radio, thank you for tuning in. And I'm going to get some information out here for you if you want to join the show. First off, you can find us on iHeartRadio as well as Spotify. And if you would like to email the show, we have an email address here that you can email us at hst@ttlomedia.net. Again, that's hst@ttlomedia.net. Listen here now. My skill, right, is not announcement. All right. And so welcome if you want to go ahead and share this live. And if you want to dial into the show, you can dial. Here we go. You're going to give it to me.
323-870-4375.
And press the 1 to dial right on in. I really appreciate you all tuning in on Blog Talk Radio. And so, again, welcome to the Healthy Soul Talk Show, where we are sponsored by Healthy Soul Talk LLC, and where we do provide mental health services, group services. And so we're very excited about what's happening in the behavioral health field and what we have coming up. We have a few products that are about to be launched. And so definitely we want to keep you all updated because it's all about empowerment and healing. We know that we are recovering, right? We're recovering from trauma, right? And I'm not going to even label what the trauma is because all of us are currently going through something. So, but yes, we want to get in there and create some things that promote healing and empowerment and positive self-talk. All right. So look out for that. And so also for 21, we are partnering up to create support groups, right? Online support groups, and they're going to be a variety available. So we're just trying to make sure we have people in place, qualified people and clinicians and community members that are dedicated, right, to providing these critical services. So we're definitely excited about that. All right. So again, welcome to the Healthy Soul Talk Show with your favorite therapist, Dr. Kimberly Thomas, and my favorite producers who are here in the studios, Dr. Dana King and Miss Latanya. How y'all doing this evening?
I'm good.
good. Yeah, I'm doing pretty good.
You're hanging in there?
I'm well.
All right. Well, let's get to it. Let's get to it.
I had a question, though.
Oh, Lord. Okay, there.
Y'all finna sell some products?
Yes.
Like marijuana? What y'all selling?
No, we... Okay, I guess that would be a product.
I just assumed that, you know, maybe I wrong.
No, we have visual items, right? We're coming up with some, you know, affirmations, and we're kind of trying to create this brand, right, of soul talk, right? And so, no, it's not marijuana, right? But what we are creating is something that'll get you in touch with your soul, the feelings of your soul.
Okay.
So it won't be an illusion, right? You know, sometimes marijuana gives you a, you know, a different sense of reality.
Illusion.
Okay.
All right. Hello, Malia. How are you? Thank you for. You know, Malia said, "Hey to her favorite therapist and producer." Come on now. All right. Thank you. All right. Let's get to it. Right.
Yeah.
So we always start the show with, did you know? Okay. And so I really want to, I'm pushing this, and anybody, you know, who has issue with therapy being pushed, just go along with it. Right. I don't have any, you know, ill words for you, but give it a try. All right, give it a try. Be open-minded. But here we go. Did you know that going to counseling or going to see a counselor doesn't mean you're crazy?
Did I know that?
Yeah.
I think I knew that. I think that there was a misconception about it, but yeah, I know that. I'm aware of it.
When you hear the word crazy, how would you define it? I know we've joked about it, and you know, it's a term that really loosely used to describe a lot of people and a person's behavior or how they think, right? And so when you hear that word crazy, right, what generally do you know, think about or relate to that?
I normally get the I normally have the thought process that somebody's doing too much. Or they crazy people have a tendency to overreact. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the stigma that's come along with, you know, if you have to see a counselor, a therapist, or even a psychiatrist, right? That word is degrading.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So when someone applies that to you, just based on you seeking mental health support, that, you know, oh my God, right? There's just something detrimentally wrong with you, right? That oh, you know, you need to go be committed somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. It's that level. And really, in fact, counseling really ranges, right? It ranges from you going through a career change, you just making changes in your life that you want to process, to yes, moderate to emotional, right, issues, mental health issues. And so it's all about changing the thought process. So I like to have this type of conversation because, you know, we need to defend, right?
Mm-hmm.
We need to defend this level of care when a person presents that, oh, you know, I don't need therapy or I don't need to go see a counselor because I'm not crazy, right? When in fact, if you don't go seek some type of assistance, your symptoms or your condition worsen. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, well, what then do you do if you say, okay, I don't need to see one because, you know, I'm not crazy, right? Then what would it take for you to go and get this level of care? What has to happen? What do you need to see, right, in yourself that would then qualify you? Right, to go talk to someone.
Okay.
Right, and so that's why I'm big on, okay, it has nothing to do with quote unquote being crazy, right? It's the level of care that you need right now. So why put in insulting, right, umbrella over it? Why make it, why put it in a category, right, that boxes you in to say that you have some quote-unquote psychotic issue, right, or some psychiatric issue that, you know, your brain is just, you know, leaving you wandering, right, in the street somewhere that you can't be managed.
That's fair.
Right? That's and that's fair. Where people go with it, mm-hmm. right? That's the quote-unquote look of a person who gets behavioral health services. So, yes, right, we need to know and we need to, you know, promote that. Going to see a counselor does not mean you're crazy. Matter of fact, crazy is not even a clinical term.
Well, most of the people who call people crazy are not thinking about it from a clinical standpoint.
Right, but
they're thinking about how you're acting at the moment.
Yeah.
I think people use crazy more as a term of how you're acting than who you really are.
Which that person then defines it as who they are. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you may say, okay, it's based on the way I'm acting, or, you know, what the words is coming out of my mouth, how I'm expressing myself, but I do own it, mm-hmm, right? And I mm-hmm, say, oh, mm-hmm. that means then that I'm a person, right,
mm-hmm.
that is, you know, psychotic, right? I'm a walking, you know, psychotic person.
Agreed.
Mm. Okay, then. All right, here we go. The next, did you know, right? And sticking with it, because we've been talking about things to ask your counselor here. No problem is too small or trivial to talk about in counseling. Okay. And this is a did you know, because there is no parameter for what you can and cannot talk about in counseling. Right.
Okay.
So you come in, right? You take your seat, and you know we're asking, right? We have a series of questions that we're asking. We don't ever say, "Hey, oh, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that's on your mind, right? Is that what's bothering you? That is not what counseling is about." And so many people, you know, they sit back and they actually contemplate, you know, is my issue
mm-hmm.
severe enough to go see a counselor? Is my problem, you know, intense enough, or is it worth, right? What's my counselor? What's a counselor going to say if I disclose, hey, you know, I'm having relationship issues, right?
Okay.
Or I can't seem to, you know, stay in a long-term relationship, or I have problems with commitment. These are questions that people ask themselves, okay, this is my issue. I don't understand it, right? Can I go and seek counseling for this issue? And the answer is yes. This
okay.
is your space.
Okay.
Right? This is your space. Even if, you know, I have people who call in who want counseling for losing pets. Right? Who you know, they experience a loss that's not the death of a person. It's non-judgmental, right? So
it's all for your show.
Right. So it's all about, you know, don't contemplate if your issues will be received well by a counselor. Right. When you make that call, when you think about, hey, I need to express myself, I need to get some things out. Right.
Mm-hmm.
A way of talking yourself out of reaching out for help is assessing. Right. Is if your problem is big enough, right? Or is this a simple problem that I should be able to work through, mm-hmm. right, myself? Does that make sense? So when you lose a job, right, you know, we do EAP services where we are, and there are no boundaries to what you can talk about in counseling, because we know that it's a process, right? So you may come in, you know, being stressed out about this particular issue, and as time goes on, you work on that goal, right? You get some system in place, and lo and behold, here we have another conversation, right? We transition into another part of your life, right? That could mean financial stability, or, you know, looking at, you know, if you're reaching retirement age, what are you going to do in retirement, right? So we're especially trying to deal with every stage of life, right? All the different stages of life and all that in between, Okay, so I just want to push that to say, okay, there is no problem, right? Too small or too trivial to talk about in counseling. That is the best space, right? Because, you know, you ever, you know, confided in a friend or a family member, and you're like, I really need to talk to you. I really need to talk to you. And you tell them what happened, and they say, that's okay, what else? Like, okay, girl, I thought you was about to say, right? It gets to one of those things where, wow, this was bothering me.
Okay.
Right? And your response was, okay, that's it. Get over it. Right? But when you're seeking counseling, that is not the approach, right?
The counselor don't say that?
No.
Okay. Asking, you know, what people might say. What, you know?
No. Counselors don't say that. Okay.
Oh, okay. That's good to know.
All right. And so, you know, tonight we're going to dive into talking about 10 questions to ask a therapist, right? To ask your therapist. And this is when you're making that phone call. I believe in empowering people to find the best fit, right? You need to treat us, meaning when you're searching for a counselor, you need to treat this like you're shopping, right?
Okay.
Because you are about to invest your emotional state into this person.
Mm-hmm.
So you want the energy. You want to know that what I'm trusting you with, right, you will be able to help me navigate, right, my change process. And so there are some standard questions here that you should ask a therapist or a psychiatrist or a psychologist, a social worker, right? We all provide clinical services here. These are questions that you need to ask on the front end, right, as you're making your decision as to who you will invest in seeing, right, building this therapeutic relationship. So question number one is, do you have a license to provide treatment for my mental health concern?
Oh.
Right. Or mental health concerns. Do you have a license, right, to provide treatment for mental health concerns? Now, I want to ask you all this. So, like, when your car needs to be repaired, what are you looking for in that person or a shop?
I am a... with back in the day when I had used cars.
Okay.
And when I say used, I don't mean certified used. I mean, you know, used. I bought it from somebody.
Okay.
Then I had no problem going to the alley mechanic.
Okay. All right. Okay.
But now if my car needs something, I'm taking it to a certified place of repair.
Got it.
Because now here's my thought process. I need to be able to cover myself if something is done wrong or if my car is not fixed properly.
Okay.
I'm going at my own risk when I go to the alley mechanic.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
There you go.
And that is the concept here, right?
Yes.
The purpose for asking, right, if your therapist or your clinician has a current and in good standing license, right? Because
current and in good standing.
Yes.
Okay.
Which I'm going to get into in a moment how to look that up.
Okay.
It certifies, right, that the individual has the appropriate education, training, and experience to effectively provide clinical services. This is not taken away from your circle, right? Who you can confide in, and you know they confide in you. You confide in them. This is not that. This is where you are allowing someone to come into your mental space, right? You're allowing someone to navigate your triggers to anxiety, your triggers, right, for depression. You're allowing someone into your mental space to help you explore long-term strategies, right, for coping and managing. Therefore, okay, you need to know if this person has the appropriate training in licensure. And what does licensure mean? That every year or every 2 years, right, we are engaging in ongoing training, certifications, right? We are bound by code of ethics, right? We're monitored. We belong to associations. So we just didn't obtain a degree and we were put out there, right,
mm-hmm.
to just randomly do what, you know, whatever comes to our mind, right? We're governed. Right. Just like your medical doctors, you anticipate those of us with children. Right. We look into our pediatrician. Right. The specialists that we go to see, you know, women's doctors, gastrointestinal. Right. Issues. We make sure the specialists that we see.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We go look at the ratings.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We need to apply this to our therapists.
Mm-hmm.
You want the best. You want to make sure, right? I like what you just said about I make sure that I'm covered,
right?
So that if anything goes wrong, if I'm, you know, violated in any way, right, or I'm discriminated against, or you know, I feel like you know you led me on to believe that I was going to receive this quality of service and you didn't, I know the measures to take, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the assurance that you want is. You know, are you licensed, which we know what comes with a license, or certified, right? Because
mm-hmm.
some of our specialties for certain conditions, there's an advanced certification for, okay? And so these are easy to look up. You can look in the Department of Professional Regulation, right? The Illinois Department of Professional Regulation, or if there's a certain specialty you're looking for, such as, you know, certified trauma professionals or anxiety specialists, there are websites where those who provide the certifications and listen, certifications, even though you go through a certification program, you don't just get handed the certificate. You still have to engage in ongoing trainings, right, to renew your certification.
Okay.
Right? So that at least gives you the assurance that this person is continuously exposed to best practices,
mm-hmm.
right? They're continuously exposed to other people in the field, right, to get, you know, collaborative efforts for care, to engage in, you know, what's worked in certain demographics, right, whether that's urban or rural areas, at-risk youth or, you know, the elderly population. You at least know that they're in some support.
Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout this profession. And so I push that because many people are, you know, they kind of associate non-professionals. Right. In this equation when they feel like counseling doesn't work. Right. So to be a therapist, to promote yourself as a therapist, you have to have a license. Right. But when I say anybody, I mean, you know, when you call yourself a counselor,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, we have camp counselors, right? We have, you know, counselor is a word that anybody can use, right? But when you say you provide therapeutic services, you must be licensed, right, to promote this. And so you always want to position yourself to say, if I'm going to work on my issues, I'm going to work on the core, right, of my emotional stability, I need to treat this like I am seeking medical help, right?
Mm.
A specialist on your insurance card, right? You pay a higher copay to see a specialist.
Okay.
Right? So that means that this person, right, has a skill set, right?
Mm-hmm.
A certain skill set that we are expected, right?
Mm-hmm.
To perform in a certain way, the effectiveness of it. So therefore, treat your mental wellness as such. Okay. So make sure you ask the question, right? Do you have a license? And when you go to their office, guess what? You should see it on the wall. All right.
Should be hanging up, huh?
It should be hanging up. It's not to be arrogant or boast about,
right?
Degrees. No, you should see the license hanging on the wall. Just like when you go into salons, right? And barbershops, you see their licenses have to be out. Now, I give the city credit for that. They will walk into a salon or barbershop, right? And their licenses have to be somewhere to be seen.
Those are facts.
Right? Same way with us.
I'm curious though. Do all these folk going to these people getting letting these people touch their head? Do these people all got licenses? I'm curious. You know.
Okay, that's not my lane.
Okay, I'm just wondering.
Hey, cousin Lisa, how you doing? Thank you for tuning in.
I only went to licensed barbers.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm just asking. I never let the dude who cut everybody hair cut my hair. I didn't. Because, you know, I was always scared of breaking out.
Breaking out.
From, you know, the people not cleaning their clippers.
And that comes with training and good practices, right? Right.
Right. You know.
Now, that's real talk.
I'm just saying.
Right. So look at it that way. You know, and I'm comparing it to this because there are certain things that we take more effort in investing in, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's quality care that doesn't always include your therapist,
mm-hmm.
right? Your behavior help. Right? Plan. Okay? So we want to upgrade that. We want you to ask those questions. All right? The next question is, all right? And again, whatever license that they have, the Illinois Department of Professional Regulation, you can look that up, right? You can look up any person's name, and it'll let you know if they have a current license. What also you can see is if they have any disciplinary actions, right? If the license is current. If it's inactive, right there are public, right? It's a public record to seek that out. Okay. Even to your primary care doctors, right? You should be able to find that out. All right. We got a comment from Lisa here. Mr. King, check your mic. I can barely hear you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But you must got me turned down over that end.
Okay. Which one is it?
I'm number 4.
1, 2, 3.
Yeah, so yeah, see, you
is that better, cousin Lisa?
Probably. You turned me down.
Don't
That's
do that. I didn't touch anything over here.
You did.
I just sat down.
Well, I had it turned all the way down before I sat over here. You the one who controlled the volume over there.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cousin Lisa. I'm assuming that's a little bit better because I hear him louder over here.
Oh, it was turned. That was turned down too. Oh. Okay, got it. All right.
All right.
Hey, y'all.
Right.
How y'all doing?
This is live. Do you hear him now? All right, here we go. Next question. Number 2. Have you worked with individuals that are experiencing similar concerns as me? Right? Have you worked with individuals that are experiencing similar concerns? All right. And so thinking about this, right, you call in and you're saying, hey, you know, a lot of times people call in and they don't know where to start, right? So I'm going to say you should have this invitation, right, to start talking about what you're going through so you know that the person you are about to sit with or disclose the most vulnerable parts of yourself truly understands or has an expertise or a certain level of experience working right with my issue. Okay. So ask that question. Have you worked with individuals that are experiencing similar concerns? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you,
somebody might need your help. Outside.
I know, right? All right. So, you know, Dr. King, right? So,
yes. Praise the Lord.
Do you want to know if the person who's working on your car has experience working with your model or
I
how
take
you,
my car to the dealership.
The dealership, okay.
To the dealership in which it was purchased or that is affiliated with said brand. Pause. Tanya, where you take your truck? Because you've had how many Nissans? Where do they go, Tanya? Because I ain't seen you taking them to. You taking your car nowhere other than. Where you take your car? Your Nissans, Tanya.
Really?
Come on. Oh, now it's quiet.
Come on. I take mine to the dealership.
Okay, so let's move on. Are you trying, to come for me?
No, you know, after a while, like,
I mean, none of
when
these,
the warranty gone?
No, but none of these vehicles have gotten to after a while.
Mm. Oh, okay.
The Altima
okay.
has gotten to after a while. That I did have an alley mechanic.
Okay.
For the brakes and everything else, but you know, these hotline vehicle I got right here can't go to the
okay.
No alley mechanic
okay.
right now.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
I need a license.
Yes. And you know, when we talk about this, right? It says doll love doll, but how you doing, Daria? Glad to see you are up and feeling better. So listen, you want to know if your therapist has some experience, right, working with your condition. Mm-hmm. And just think about that, right? You ask them, hey, you know, I noticed that I've been, you know, doing some compulsive right thinking or obsessive thoughts, right? I'm having obsessive thoughts about, you know, this person in a relationship, and I found myself, you know, repeatedly, you know, doing some things, right? Let's just say randomly, you know, opening the door 20 times, right? So what do we have? Some OCD, right? Like symptoms, right? You want to know if your therapist has experience, right, helping people navigate through these symptoms. Right? Because what if they don't? And it's not to throw shade. It's not to, you know, knock anybody. But we're talking about there are clinicians who invest in, right, treating these conditions. So that's their primary, right? That's their primary specialty, right? Such as, you know, we all do, you know, anxiety, depression. Some of us go into, which we're going to talk about in a moment, the approach, right? But you want to know the level of experience, right, that your therapist has in working with people that have certain your condition. And you may not know your condition, so in the beginning, you're really just talking about, right, what you've been experiencing, insomnia, right? Lack of sleep, right? You lost your appetite, or, you know, you're having panic attacks, right? You're having anxiety attacks. You really want to ask these questions to your potential therapist or psychiatrist or social work, whatever their licensure is. You want to know what's their experience with it. All right. So ask that question. Have you worked, right, with individuals with my specific concerns? All right. The next question here is, you want to ask your clinician, right, what type of approach do you usually use, and is it evidence-based? All right, what type of approach do you use, and do you usually use, okay, and is it evidence-based? All right, so there's a variety of evidence-based approaches that can treat the same mental disorder. Got it? Right. Hence, we have, you know, primary care doctors and specialists. You know, we have a theoretical orientation. OK, so depending on the training, education, and, you know, our professional style of counseling. Right. We may promote or implement a set approach. So like me, I engage in cognitive behavior therapy. Right. Motivational interview, a strength based approach, because typically I'm not considered a long term therapeutic approach. Right. Foundation.
Oh.
Right. So,
so you like to hit it and quit it.
You make it sound so. I don't know.
Why are you shaking your head?
What?
You go,
why? I'm trying to get some understanding. I work with the person, right?
Huh?
To help them, you know, address their issues.
And then you kick them to the curb.
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
I do. You know what? I have, you know, I love my clients, right?
Uh-huh.
Since I've been in my my own private practice, mm-hmm. I have some clients who've been with me since day one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? I've just become a part of their, you know, their wellness plan, right? And we're not repetitive in any way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we're working through life, right? They're in these life stages, and they're doing some amazing things. But they decided, right, that this particular level of care was something that they must have,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm okay with that. But so when I say, you know, a short-term therapeutic approach, that just basically means that style, right? It's not what we call psychoanalytic, right? Mm-hmm. So when you think about that, there are some clinicians, and this is where we're upfront. This is important because it lets you think about what you're in for, right? So your therapist explains to you, hey, you know, I'm more of the psychodynamic. I like to focus on your past and your family dynamics, how you grew up, right? Your childhood experiences, and then we work our way up. Mm-hmm. Got it? That's a long-term approach, right? Because we're traveling back, right, through your life as to what's impacted you, your trauma, right? Relationships, whether that be your caregivers or, you know, as you got in high school, different milestones in your life, what that was like. That's what we call a more long-term approach to therapy. So that can take a couple of years, which is okay, right? We have client-centered therapy, right? So whatever you're coming in to talk about, that's what's guiding the process. But then you have CBT, cognitive behavior therapy, rational emotive therapy. Those are things where you say, okay, let's focus on a solution, right? Let's focus on changing how you think, all right? So thinking about that, right? Ask them what type of approach they use so you can make the best decision as to what would work for you. Does that make sense? We're empowering you to say, oh, is this something I want long term, or do I want more of a collaborative approach, right? So, yes, I like to say, you know, you're going to get homework, right? You're going to work on, you know, doing things outside of the therapeutic setting, right? So mm-hmm. I'm setting you up for what our week-to-week or bi-weekly sessions will look like, all right? Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. All right. So by all means, ask them what type of approach. Now, what's the purpose of asking if it's evidence-based? Listen, all right? You want to know that the approach that your therapist is using, right, is clinically sound, okay? You want to know if it's clinically sound. Okay, and so it's important that, you know, you at least know that the approach that they have to the therapeutic relationship, the rapport building, has some research, right, to back it up. It's been proven to help individuals that have similar issues as yourself. Does that make sense? All right, we got it. Ooh. All right, so make sure... Make sure, right, that you have these options and that you understand. You know, believe it or not, people Google, right? They Google your therapeutic approach of what therapy consists of. And I do get questions about, you know, certain language that we use in counseling because this person, there are more people doing research, right, about what authentic counseling is, right? Because like I said, many people can promote, right, I can help you get through this circumstance, and they don't necessarily have the training, right? So you're disappointed, and we don't want you to be disappointed, right? We want you to make sure you are investing in the real thing. Okay, all right, next question you can ask is, hey, Felicia, how you doing? How do you think therapy can help me? All right. Again, you these are questions you're asking when you make that phone call. How do you think therapy can help me?
That's a very open-ended question.
Absolutely. Right? And listen, we're not set up to make guarantees. Right. So it's not, it shouldn't be where, you know, the therapist, you shouldn't be set up where your therapist goes into, I guarantee, you know, you'll be healed in 3 weeks. Right. That's not what this question is designed for. Right. You want to know, right, that your therapist has a clear roadmap, right, for helping you address the issues that you bring into this process. Okay? We are professionally trained to work through a variety of issues, and we use multiple techniques throughout the course
of treatment, okay? And so, you know, that let's just say you come in and you you say, okay, I'm having these specific issues in my relationship or whatever, and I need insight, right? And so you may say, okay, how can you help me, right? How can you help me gain better insight and understanding into myself, all right? And so first thing is we don't give advice. All right. And that's important because many people thought or they think that they hire this person that's licensed to provide therapy or whatever clinical psychiatry, even administer medication, that we are going to tell you how to live your life. Right. When you say, how do you think therapy can help you? We're going to help you find ways to navigate. Right. We're going to help you find ways to recover. Right. Right. We're going to help you identify. Right. Triggers that keep you in the peak of anxiety or in the peaks of depression. OK, that is the goal. OK, therapy can help you through your process of change. But you have to invest in it too. It's a collaborative effort. Okay? And so that's what this is how do you think therapy will help you? It will help you navigate. It will help you tap into gaining insight and understanding, right, into yourself and how you interact with others and what that would look like, right, when you think about long-term change. Even to recognizing negative thinking patterns, right? We're there to say, okay, we can help you define, and this is, you know, I like a little clinical here, cognitive distortions, right? We're here to help you define some of the things that you're feeling so that you make the next move. And I like what Darielle says is we're going to help you help you. We're not going to become you. Right. We are going to walk right alongside of you as you be the captain of your own ship. We're going to give you your power back. Right. Because sometimes when you come in, you've let other people drive your life. Right. Mm-hmm. Someone else is steering right your life. We're going to help you get your power back. Right. And that's where we are. When you say, how does it help you? It helps you become clear in thought process. I like people to relieve the pressure valve, right? It gratifies me. It just warms me up when I see people for an hour on that first session. They say, you know what? I just feel better just releasing all this, right? And I say, just leave it right here. I don't want you to walk out with anything that was weighing heavy on you that you put out on this tape because that was your purpose for coming in here. You needed some mental relief.
Yeah.
You needed to get some mental clarity. What comes with mental clarity? When you create a safe environment for you to be just that vulnerable. Right? Just that vulnerable. And that is the safest place to do it at. Okay. We're neutral. We don't know anything about you. Right? We're trained not to be judged. Okay, so there's just so many ways we're conditioned, right? We are your cheerleader, right, for emotional wellness. We're your cheerleader, okay? So keep that in mind. All right, next question.
Uh-oh.
Next question is, how should I prepare for sessions?
Oh.
All right, how should I prepare for sessions?
And again, these are questions you're asking the therapist.
Yes.
That you're going to. Got it.
Right. These are questions you're asking. Yeah. What should I, what do I need when I come into, you know, this therapeutic process? And so we just ask that you come in, right, with an open mind to be flexible in exploring, right, what you've been hiding, right, what you've been pushing under the rug. So when I have these conversations, when they call in, right, is I always want to prepare you for what this process is going to be, right? And that is you're going to be vulnerable, right? You're going to be emotional. But I want you to know this is a safe space to be emotional,
right? And so, you know, just about in every office, right, of a clinician, you see boxes of tissue, right, boxes of Kleenex. I let the tears flow, right? It's in the middle of the table, right? But I don't like push the box to them, right, to grab the Kleenex, because this is a safe space to cry. Right? It says, because when you give someone a Kleenex, you're telling them to stop crying.
What if you just trying to tell them to get the snot off their lip?
Oh, God. You know what?
Okay, I'm sorry. Maybe I'm just being pragmatic. I'm thinking you got your all that MAC makeup is running down the side of your face right
it
now.
It doesn't matter. You can do this. Is your you are invested. This is
okay.
Your hour.
You're right.
You can look how you want to look. If your mascara needs to run, right?
Be a Laffy Taffy and be quiet. Okay. Shake that Laffy Taffy. Oh.
It's okay. Like, and everything you just said, I see it. And it does not bother me, right? I don't stare at them. I don't make faces. I don't do any of that because I know when you get done, right, releasing that intensity of an emotion, you are so ready, right, to now tackle the issue, right, the trigger. Okay, so it's a safe space to be emotional, and that's how I want to prepare you, right, to come in ready to let it out. Right. The expectations. Right. The expectations that, you know, I'm clear on my theoretical orientation. So I do have to prep you. Right. That this is a collaborative effort. Right. I like tracking symptoms. I like, you know, you to journal whatever it is that I know that I do. Right. On a regular basis, I let this person know that. OK, because you don't want somebody walking into something and it totally throws them off. Right. I read this in your profile, but you're doing something different. Right. Than what I read about or that I expected you to do. Does that make sense? So we have a couple of different specialties. Right. So we work with domestic violence for aggressors. That's a group therapy program. It's a long program. Right. It's 26 sessions. All right. Once a week. We have a substance use program, and all these programs warrant us telling people about what to expect in this program. You know, and I don't have a problem spending 30, 40 minutes with you on the phone just explaining the experience you're going to get with us. Okay, I don't have a problem with that. And if you are encountering someone who's not taking the time to answer your questions like this, you need to continue making phone calls. Because if I expect to share my life with you for the next 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 months, the least you can do is give me 45 minutes of your time and explain what I'm walking into. All right. So understand, you know, you need to be prepared. How do I need to come in for sessions? All right. Next question. All right. Next question here is, how frequently should we meet? All right. Now, there's a couple of things, huh? What'd you say?
Three times a week.
Oh, really? Well, no, because I have some program, patient therapy. Oh. So there is a such thing as going to therapy three times a week. We call that an intensive level of care.
Are white jackets required for that?
Oh, my God.
No? Okay.
Okay. No. See, there we go again.
Okay. All right.
You know, there are a lot of people who would love to talk to a professional 3 days a week about their problems.
I think it would be better than talking to the voices in my head, so you might be right.
You know what? I'm going to deal with you after the show. That's all I'm going to say.
What? I'm just asking real questions over here.
Listen, how
I'm asking the questions that people want to ask and scared to ask.
Really? Okay. So, first of all, right, there is a business part to this, okay? Mm-hmm. But on a what we call a treatment plan or best practice approach, generally one time per week or biweekly, right? I generally don't go beyond every 2 weeks because, you know, we're in the treatment, right? We're in a treatment plan, right? So particularly if we have set goals and we're tracking symptoms, right? I definitely try to push for once a week or every other week. Okay. I as a clinician don't go longer, right, than every other week, unless we're tapering off. So I have people who we call they do follow up care. All right. So I do like the step down methods that a lot of people like to do. And then we do tune ups, check ins. Okay. So, but yeah, so depending on your presenting concerns, right, your stressors in your life right now, some people are going through stressors. So we have to take a look at, right, best practices for how often you check in. If you write in some stuff, financial considerations such as, you know, if you're being covered by insurance or self-pay, I'm very, you know, in tune with that. And I believe in creating sliding scale fees for people who, you know, we have high deductibles. So as a clinician, there's a lot that I take in consideration to make sure you get the best level of care. All right. So let me be clear on that. You want a clinician.
So I can use my AARP discount, is what you're saying? Okay, real question, though. Did you see Felicia's question?
I don't even know how to respond to that because I didn't even know you get that discount. All right, anyway.
Did you see Felicia's question?
She said, did you hit my question? I stepped away. I will go back.
Well, can you specifically ask or look for a therapist based on your religion or spiritual preferences?
Oh, okay, Felicia, here we go. I like that. All right, here we go. So, yes, you can. Right. And let me explain part of how this can work. So there is a website called Psychology Today. All right. So on Psychology Today, it kind of gives, it's like a checklist that we all go through to say what our rates are, what conditions we treat, if we provide Christian therapy, or whatever that is. Okay. So Felicia, if you're looking for a therapist who is a Christian, right, then you can ask that therapist directly, okay? Does that make sense? So yes, I get those questions along with other types of religions, okay? Because there are people who want to engage in therapy that includes their religious practices. Got it? So there's a difference in looking for a clinician who is a Christian versus looking for a clinician who does Christian counseling. Got it? Because me being a Christian, right, that's just my religious practice, right? You want to know if we have the same Christian beliefs. Do we live off the same principles? But if you're looking for a therapist to incorporate Christian practices in the therapeutic setting, right, then that would need to be distinguished, right? Because now we're talking about biblical principles. We're talking about how your spirituality impacts, you know, how you manage your emotions and deal with life stress, right? So that's incorporated into the therapeutic approach and your goals for therapy. Does that make sense? Dr. King? Does that make sense?
No, it makes perfect sense,
okay,
to me.
All right.
I think you're helping Felicia. She's the one who asked the question. I hope you answered the question.
All right. But you know, you're my sounding board.
I'm up. Okay.
Jeez.
All right. I'm sorry. I was mad because Tanya keep putting the camera on me when I was chewing it now and later. Right. I was chewing it now and later.
Yeah,
right. I'm over here chewing real good, and she keep putting the camera on me in the middle of a chew. And I'm seeing it delayed over here, and I'm like, really? That's what you on? What's got your attention over there?
So, Felicia, I hope that answered it for you. So that's important, right? If you want a counselor who is a Christian, or if you want a counselor who incorporates Christian principles or to your sessions, all right? And again, you want to know those previous questions. What's your experience with that? Right. And I get those questions. Right. They want to know how that looks. And again, if you can't spend 45 minutes with me. Right. So that I at least know in our initial phone call that I'm stepping into something, right, that's going to make me comfortable and give it a try, right, then I need to, you know, keep calling. Right? Keep calling to get till you get the right vibe.
That's fair.
All right? So yes. All right. So next question. So we wrapped up talking about how frequently should we meet, right? So generally we ask weekly or every other week, all right? And then we kind of taper off from there, and it's always a conversation, all right? And that should be talked about on the front end, okay? On the front end. You should have a say-so, right? So please understand that this is your experience, right? So if you feel like you need to see a therapist every week and you know, they're pushing every 2 weeks, right? Come on, right? Don't feel like you're obligated to stay there. This is your experience. All right? This is your treatment plan. Okay? And so you have a say so in this particular process. All right. So Felicia has got it, so they won't be mad if I ask if they speak in tongues. What?
See? I thought it was me.
Oh, my goodness. All right, next question here. Do you think I should consider medication? Okay. Now, when I saw this question, because I actually get it sometimes in those phone calls, I'm careful how I answer this, okay? Because people, you know, in this profession, we are expected to educate. We're expected to give solid and sound, right, information as it relates to mental wellness. Okay. So it's not something, right, that you come up and you say, hey, do you think I should consider medication because I've experienced this, 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 and this. We can't technically make that particular call to say, yes, we need you to go ask your psychiatrist or your primary care doctor to put you on anxiety medication or antidepressant. Okay. We don't know. Right. And what I mean by that is we need to speak with you about how you're feeling. Right. Again, we should assess, right. We should assess, okay. Number one, have you taken medications in the past? Right. How did you feel? Okay. Because some people, there's this stigma out there that, oh, you know, if you're feeling a certain way, if you have certain symptoms going on, that automatically you should go and start taking medication. Okay. Understanding, we talked about this last week. So like, medication does not change how you think, right? It just works with those physical symptoms to relax your body. But when the medication wears off or you feel like, hey, I don't want to do this anymore, you still have to go and address, right, go through the process of changing how you think, right? And that involves being vulnerable and addressing your thought processes, okay, with a professional. So when you ask that question, you should get an explanation on what the process is to explore if it's beneficial for you to have medication and talk therapy. All right. So I want to be clear on that. It's not something where you should leave feeling like, okay, all you need is medication. Let me go, you know, talk to my doctor. Okay. There should be this solid explanation of let's talk more about that because, you know, the body does need to be stabilized. Right. So there's, again, as this education point to help you make an informed decision as to whether or not to pursue psychopharmacology. All right. And so there's a line of questioning that goes with this. Okay. So it shouldn't be just a yes, I think you should if you're feeling this way on the front end, or a no, because I don't believe in medication. You don't want, it can't be either one of those extremes. There should be an explained process to get you to making that decision on your own with, right, the appropriate collaborative effort of care. All right. Got it. All right. Let's keep moving. We're almost there, y'all. All right. So next question here. All right. We are on number 8. All right. Question. How will I know if therapy is working? Okay. How will I know if therapy is working? Okay. This question is really important to ask because it helps individual understand the process of therapy and develop realistic expectations. All right. So remember I mentioned that my primary mode of my theoretical orientation is cognitive behavior therapy, right? So yes, I tend to answer this question by explaining, hey, you know, as we navigate this therapeutic process, I'm asking and I'm checking in with you to see whether or not you feel like you have control over your emotions. You feel like you're managing, right, the triggers. You feel like you have diminished or you're effectively coping with the symptoms that you identified when you came in. All right. So understanding that the how will I know if therapy is working comes from when I explain to you how I do my check-ins along the way, right? How I'm checking in with you to see, hey, when you came in, you mentioned that you had sleepless nights at least 4 to 5 days a week. Now, if we set a plan of, okay, we want to by in 2 weeks, right, make it where you at least get down to 2 days a week, right? I'm checking in to see if that's working because I like to explore, right, explore best practices. So this is using your own space, right? You're creating your own tools. We're talking about the things that, you know, whether it's people you need to forgive, you know, whether there's trauma we need to work through, right? You're laying out on the table specific thoughts that bother you, and we need to know. We need to create a plan, right? We need to create a plan. When these thoughts come to you, how do you want to respond to them? So as we meet weekly or as we meet every other week, we're checking in. And I'm opening up with my clients, right? When if they come in, they say, I had a bad week, right? Or, you know, I tried this and, you know, it didn't work, so I had to do this. That's perfectly fine because at least it lets me know you are in tune with, right, the therapeutic process. So it's very, very, very important that you ask, how will I know if therapy is working? Because you feel better, right? You feel better. You shouldn't be navigating this journey of therapy and you're not being asked, how you doing? We should be asking you, hey, how do you think our relationship is going in this process? Am I meeting your needs right now? Right? Let's recap, right, the goals that we set. We've been at this for about, you know, 4 weeks now, 5 weeks now. Let's take a look at your treatment plan. Do you feel like you've met your goals? Do you want to set new goals? Okay, this is the process of therapy where we don't just keep going and going and going and going and nobody's asking you how you're doing. Is this working for you? Right? Is this working for you? Okay, so how will I know if therapy is working? Because you should be assured that along this journey, your therapist is going to be checking in with you on your goals, how your symptoms, right, are subsiding. Are they flaring up? Do you feel like you're managing your emotions, so forth and so on? This is the kind of explanation you should get. All right, number nine. Okay, number nine, here we go. How many sessions do you anticipate it would take to see noticeable improvement?
Let me see how many coins I got. Let me check my pocketbook.
All right. How many sessions do you anticipate it will take to see noticeable improvement? Again, this is to help you manage your expectations about this process, okay? So, yes, that question does depend on what your presenting issues or concerns are, okay? So I've had, and I can explain this based on my professional experience, right? So if I'm listening and I know that, you know, this is a specialty that we offer, right? We do give a range, right? So there's no set number. There's always going to be a range, right? Because nothing is down to a science as it relates to, okay, you're good. We only did it in 4 sessions, right? That's all we're going to need. So we always give a range. So some things, right?
that need, especially when you're talking about behavior change, you may have a brief intervention, right? Which could be 1 to 3 sessions, all right? That's a brief intervention. And maybe that is you preparing to transition into a new job. Right. And you have some hesitation. You have some concerns with meeting the standards of the job. OK, so we may need to explore, right, what the root causes of that anxiety. But then we also know that there are some other forms of therapy that go along, such as when you're treating anxiety, that can go between, 12 to 20 sessions. Right. 8 to 10. Right. We're listening to give you a range so that, OK, within this time. Right. Within this time, I'm going to anticipate and I'm going to expect some type of improvement. OK, that kind of goes with the previous question of how will I know if therapy is working? You should never have that remains to be seen. Right. No. On the front end. Right. On the front end, when you make that phone call, even during that first session, you should be advised of, OK, typically. Right. This is when we notice improvement, okay? And what goes into that is the experience that you expect to have in those sessions. Guess what? It suggested that when you know this particular answer, you have a higher rate, right, of retention, meaning staying in therapy, right? Because you have it's almost like there's this finish line, right? There's this finish line to how you see getting better, how you see feeling and thinking, incorporating new practices. All right. All right. So last question here. Okay. Last question here.
Number 10.
All right. Could you tell me more about your policies relating to insurance cancellation and no-shows? All right. Can you tell me more about your clinic's policies relating to insurance, cancellation, and no-shows? That's the business side, right?
Yeah.
That's a big, because guess what? People will stop coming if they think that you won't provide services to them, right? If they miss a session. And guess what? Right? Most of us, we do have cancellation policies, which include, okay, at least if you let us know 24 hours in advance, right? You're least likely to incur a fee or be, some clinicians have you prepay or you get charged. If you call, let's just say same day, they still charge you for the session. Okay.
Did you say prepay?
Prepay.
I didn't prepay my problems. No.
Somebody said something about prepay. She ain't like, huh? What'd you say? Got look.
I didn't give you a synopsis of my problems. And
but
so,
I'll explain this now. I like Delisha's question. Who sets the limits on sessions or how long? Right? The client, insurance, psychiatrist. Or all the above. So technically it's all the above, but because I've had where, especially with my EAPs and some insurance plans that the employer selects, right? They do have limits. Okay. And if you need more sessions, then they require, a treatment plan, right? They require your notes. Okay. So that's not a problem if, you've been doing it. All right. So yes and no. But if it's not discussed, right, then this person, they just drop out. Right. But we should say it on the front end, but know that you should ask these things. All right. What happens if I do a no call, no show? Right. That's in the informed consent process when you come in. But when you're making that phone call, yeah, that's the business side of it, okay? How do you handle insurance? And I love, informing people, hey, call your insurance company. See what your benefits are. Do you have a deductible? Does the deductible apply to behavioral health, right? Do you have a co-insurance? Do you have a co-pay, all right? Are we in network? Give them our name. Right. Because you want to make sure that you're covered
Okay. Because yes, the paperwork you sign off on says, hey, technically, right, you are responsible for payment if your insurance company does not cover, you know, the cost. Okay. So some clinicians don't take insurance at all. They only work with self-pay. Hence, that's where the prepay comes in at, is where, you know, we have hour-long sessions. So I will say people do make appointments and don't call at all and don't show up. Right?
So what you're saying is if they prepay, they're more likely to show up because
– exactly.
You already got that
right.
money. That
right. You have a clause there, right? So the understanding, you know, I don't charge for service. I do have people who pay up when they are in group therapy, right? So they're like, okay, I just need to make these payments. So
is that a group?
Group therapy?
A singing group? Oh, sorry. Oh, groove theory. Thank you. I'm sorry.
Oh, my goodness.
Pray for me.
So people prepay, but I do have where I only charge for sessions completed. All right. So I tend not to forfeit the funds because, you know, I work with a mandated population. So if the case get dropped, right, they're no longer required to go and they prepay for some services, I will give a refund for services not rendered. Right. They do pay for sessions they've already completed. So, yeah, it really, you know, it's that's the business side. Right. Because, you know, you hear a lot of clinicians say we do a lot of pro bono. Right. Because there's nothing like submitting a claim to an insurance company only for them to, you know, find some way to not pay you. Right. But a lot of times we can't come back and say, hey, you owe us this because it's the plan, right? There's certain contractual guidelines or restrictions you have where you cannot charge the client, right? So if you charge $150 an hour and based on the contract you have with this insurance panel, you're going to take the $50 that they send you, right? So you cannot charge the client the additional monies that were not covered. Okay. So yes, that is where, you know, you think about what happens in the event of when I first started out in private practice, that happened more with people that weren't per se calling their insurance companies. Right. And I knew that I needed to turn that up a notch right on my end to really help the client navigate covering services. So it's a much better, right, show, right? The rates are much higher now when I notice that I just take time on the front end, right, to educate people on how the business side of therapy works. But you must be flexible, right? So part of our mission is to help people who don't have access to, who truly can't afford full payment. If you're seeing a therapist every week, it could get costly. Okay. So there has to be some practices in place, some policies in place. Hence we have sliding scale fees, right? And you know, we set up payment arrangements. So understanding that this is something you want to look for in a therapist. Hey, what will happen if, right, I lose my job and I don't have insurance anymore? Right. What's the plan? Are you going to stop seeing me? Right. What kicks in? Right. So these are questions that you want to ask. Things happen. OK, if I don't show up. Right. What should I do? Right. If I'm not able to cancel within 24 hours, are you always going to charge me? And again, this is not to say the person is not, you're not going to commit to therapy, but this is the business side of it. Okay, we need you to get well. So the less you have to stress out over just the process of therapy, right, the higher or the more effective your experience is going to be. All right. So that's the conclusion of this, right, is just, you know, take your time, right, invest in your mental wellness Ask the questions, because by the end of that first conversation, you need to be ready to say, hey, you know what? I like talking to you, right? This is very helpful. How do I schedule an appointment? Or you may say, okay, I got all your information, right? You gave me a lot of good, you know, things to think about, right? I'll call you back when I'm ready. Perfectly fine with me, right? Because I need you to ensure that I'm a good fit for you, right? And so don't feel pressured. Even if I did, you know, dedicate 45 minutes to talking to you, don't feel like you're obligated, right, to set the appointment. Don't be pressured into that. Again, these are questions you ask to see, what am I looking for? Okay. Have I spoken to enough clinicians to understand what I need out of the therapeutic process? What do I want this to look like? All right. So I promise you, I always ask, you know, if you have any more questions while you're searching for a therapist, give me a call back. Right. Especially with the specialized programs that we have, people need to be able to afford the program. So I understand when they say they like shopping around, I give it to them, right? In terms of, I know what you're doing, right? Because I want them to feel comfortable, right? In this journey of, I need to find what works for me. So I don't mind, you know, saying if you have any other questions about how this, you know, program works, right? Let me know. You don't have to per se get on my books for me to answer your questions about the process, right, that you need to go through to get effective services. Okay, so I hope that this has helped somebody, right, feel a little bit better about seeking therapy, because that's how serious it is. You want this to be someone that is going to be giving you a meaningful experience, right? It's worth your time, it's worth your investment, it's worth your effort. Okay. So write your questions out. All right. I really, really encourage you to write your questions out. Take notes. All right. Even look at how long it took for them to call you back. All right. And, you know, we all get busy. Right. But if it took, you know, a while for them to call you back and it's acknowledged, right, that make that saying much than a person who just says, hey, yeah, you called me about 4 weeks ago, right? Just giving you a call back to see. No, listen, if they're not apologizing, if they're not, you know, a lot's going on, we're in the midst of a pandemic, you know, things are happening. This is all a part of the process, right? So look at that as you seek your support. All right. So I want to thank you all for tuning in. All right. Like I said, I hope that this helped someone, or that you can pass this information along to someone who, as we said earlier, feels like going to counseling means that you're crazy. No, it's not, right? Because hence, if these are the questions you need to ask, this means that you're really smart and you're ready to invest in your mental wellness. All right. So let's be back here next week. I want to put something out there. So we have an email address, right? HST@ttlomedia.net.
Sound right.
All right. Sound right. Okay. I got it right. HST@ttlomedia.net. Listen, if you want to talk about specific things as it relates to mental health, email us. Okay. So, because I want to open that up, right, that we began to, you know, tap into what's on your mind to break down the stigma and just kind of open the platform for talking about these things. All right. So next week, we're going to dive into relationships.
Uh-oh.
All right. Dive into relationships. How do you meet?
Show me going to have relations. Show me going to have relations. Oh, that's not what you.
How to be in a relationship with someone who's depressed.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Okay.
That's a good one. It requires a lot of alcohol.
Is that rubbing alcohol? You know, the green cat.
Grain.
All right, the holidays are here, right?
Happy holidays.
A lot of emotions flying around, right? Do we sit and drink and get high together, right? Or do we do some other things to minimize feelings of depression?
I don't think we want to be passing the crack pipe around. I don't think
the
that's
the crack pipe.
I'm sorry. I mean the 40. I don't think we want to be passing the bottle around. Plus it's COVID.
This I said with your partner in a relationship.
Oh, relation.
Not situationship. All right, relationship.
Relation.
All right, y'all. You enjoy the rest of your week. Have a great weekend, all that good stuff on Thursday.
Yep.
We have Grindology.
It'll be a rebroadcast this Thursday. She'll be back to full schedule next week Thursday.
Come on now. All right. Good stuff. And then Friday, we have Praise Break Friday.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be back. All right. Kicking it off on Monday. So enjoy. Stay safe. And I'll see y'all next week.